Morning. Today's daf in Bechoros is Chaf Aleph. We are in Chaf Amud Beis. We are at the very bottom of the Amud. We're starting this morning with the words Tanur Rabbanan. It's about seven, eight lines from the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah yesterday, the opening Mishnah of the third parak of Bechoros, again deals with the question of whether or not an animal is a Bechor or not a Bechor. You buying the animal from a non-Jew, and you have nothing, you really have very little information in terms of this of its history. And so the obvious question now is that when this animal is now in your farm and giving and you're breeding it and it's giving birth, so is the first offspring it produces for you, is that going to be the Bechor, or is that not going to be the Bechor? So basically it's a question of what kind of assumptions do we make when given such little information? So we saw that there were many opinions on this matter. In the Mishnah itself, there were effectively two positions. The opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Yesterday on Chaf, we saw a Braisa, which offers actually four opinions. The opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, two versions of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua, as he received as a tradition, that's the Gamrei de Rabbi Yoshua. And Rabbi Yoshua espousing his own viewpoint, that's the Savrei de Rabbi Yoshua. And then there was the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And in yesterday's daf, we basically went through each one of the Shitas. In the Mishnah and the Braisa themselves, the Shitas of specifically Ahala Rabbi Akiva. It's really unclear. Really unclear exactly what Rabbi Akiva means when Rabbi Akiva espouses a position. Rabbi Akiva said, both in the Mishnah and the Braisa, well, if you know that it didn't give birth historically, so then the first animal is a Bechor. And if you knew that it did give birth historically, so then for sure this next animal coming out is not a Bechor. And if it's a Suffolk, so it's a Suffolk. That's basically what Rabbi Akiva said back in the Mishnah. He said it back in the Braisa. And obviously, without a Gemara, without any kind of Perush, like, we'd be just guessing exactly what Rabbi Akiva meant. It was unclear. But parenthetically, what did we learn in yesterday's daf regarding Rabbi Akiva? We learned together that for Rabbi Akiva, what's at issue over here is, let's say you discover, you purchase the animal, and you don't know whether it gave birth previously or not, but it started lactating. The animal's now producing milk. So generally speaking, as a probability standpoint, that means it gave birth historically. So is that going to be enough evidence for us to say that the animal gave birth historically? So that's the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the previous Tanaim. Although admittedly, in yesterday's daf, Rabbi Akiva, we had to flip Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yoshua seemed to be a little bit inconsistent in terms of the positions elsewhere. So we had to flip it around. And it came out, the conclusion of the Gemara yesterday was Rabbi Akiva says that chalav is eino poter. That despite the fact that generally speaking, of course you're right, when an animal is lactating, so that means that they gave birth. That generally speaking is how hormonally a mammal works. But there is a possibility for it lactating without having it given birth. That's a miut. But the Gemara says, but we have to be choshesh that it might be the right explanation of what happened, and therefore remains the suffix as to whether or not the animal gave birth historically or not. Rabbi Natan, as we noted yesterday, passings like Rabbi Kiva, Echalav Zeno Poter. Does that mean that we're Choshish Lemiut? So as we discussed yesterday at the very end of yesterday's daf, Rabbi Natan says not necessarily. Because even though that is a chshash for Miut, even though that is a concern for a small chance, small probability, but as Rabbi Natan points out himself, it's a Miut coupled together with a Chazakah. Meaning that, as far as we know, let's leave alone what we know. What is fact is that when this animal was born, it was born not having given birth. So now that is the status quo going forward, right? That's the chazaka de mikara. And so therefore, now we have to change that chazaka. So we're changing the chazaka, and on top of that, there's also a miut. So you take the chazaka and you add that to the miut. And so then that gives us enough of a possibility that it, in fact, did not give birth, even though the robe would dictate that it did give birth. Okay, that is basically a recap of what we saw yesterday, Tanur Rabbanan. We are starting from where we left off yesterday with a Braisa. The Braisa over here deals with Maaser Behema. Now, obviously not our topic right now, but you'll see the reason why we bring in the Braisa is because it affects what we discussed yesterday's daf. Maaser Behema. So let's quickly recap what we know, the little we know about Maaser Behema. Or better yet, the little that I know about Maaser Behema. And that is that all the animals that are born this year, now in terms of when the year begins and when the year ends, so you remember the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, in terms of when exactly is the fiscal calendar of Maaser Behema, but we're going to assume for our purpose of our discussion, it's Rosh Chodesh Elul, a month prior to Rosh Hashanah, so it's Maaser Behema. So that means that all the animals that are born in my flock from Rosh Chodesh Elul to the next Rosh Chodesh Elul. So they're all going to be collected and they're all going to be put into the pen. And now a small opening at the exit of the pen, and we're going to count them as they're walking out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Number 10 I'm going to mark with a red, with some sort of red marking, and that will be my Maaser Behemah. My Maaser Behemah is a carbon. It's going to be offered as a carbon, and we are going to be doing this for all animals that are born this year. Simple, straightforward. It applies to domesticated animals, obviously, not to wild animals. Okay, and et cetera, et cetera. The Brisa over here is going to construct a scenario in which I'm going to have one mother, who's mother goat, who's going to give birth to a litter, who then in turn that litter is going to give birth to another litter, and we're going to have Maaser Behemah almost instantaneously. In just, you know, in one fell swoop, we're going to have 10 animals. That's the point of the Brisa. Now, the original mother, let's just say that she was not part of the count towards Maaser Behemah, because again, Maaser Behemah for the animals that are born this year. So the mother, let's say she was born historically in a different year, although it's possible the mother could have been born this year, but we don't have to assume that. And so now basically we're going to go triplets, and each one of the triplets is going to have triplets. And so with the little math that we know, so that already now creates four times three, it's 12. That's 12 animals that are born in one single year. And so now, are we going to do Maaser Behemah? The answer, of course, is yes, because I just need 10 to be born into my flock, and we're going to have 12 based on this scenario. Tana Rabbanan. Gidia Shialda Shalosh Banos V'chol B'nasei Yaldu Shalosh Shalosh. So I have a Gidia giving birth to three girls, and those three girls gave birth to another three. Now we're going to say that those three gave birth to another three girls. Now, we don't have to go any more generations, so why does the third generation all have to be girls? So Rashi points out it's really simple, because we want Bechor to be out of the equation. Because once any one of those animals is a male, so then they're a Bechor, and Bechor is not counted towards Maaser Behemah. So by keeping everyone female, so the scenario now is nice and neat, where we're going to have a total now of 12 animals that are going to be going into the pen to be mit asir. So, Gidish Yalda Shalosh Banos V'chol B'nasei Yaldu Shalosh Shalosh Kol Nechnasus L'dir Lehis Asir. Good. So, Maaser Behemah in 1 year, all manufactured by one animal. Good. I'm Rabbi Shimon Ani Reisi Isra B'soch Shnasa. And Rabbi Shimon says, I saw it. I saw this happen. Now, a couple of things to discuss over here. Well, let's just run with the Gemara's points. Number one, Lama Lilimis Leishal Shosh Tolu Chad Mina Klas V'inach Tarte Tarte. So the first question on the Gemara is just a really technical question. Look, we only need 10 animals. So in the construct scenario that we just created, where we want to come up with a scenario where one goat can produce a minion of goats, so why do we need triplets each time? Meaning that gets us to 12, and that's two more than what we need. Why didn't the Brisa just simply say that of going from the second generation to the third generation, so one of the triplets gave birth to triplets, and the other two gave birth to twins? And that way you have 10, and just why isn't it like neater in that regard? So the Gemara says, ID, Deika Chada de Losagi below Shalosh, Tanakulo de Yaldu Shalosh. So the Gemara's answer very simple, because look, it's true, it gets me to the exact number 10, but the Brisa wants to construct a scenario that's really easy to say over and symmetrical. Like we've gone over so many times the need for symmetry in terms of these Mishnayos and Brisas. They were dedicated, they were committed to memory, and so the easier it is to say it, so that's how the Brisa would like to present it. So by having three and each one having three, that's nice, it's symmetrical. It's true it produces two more animals than what we need, but still the case is now nice and simple. Gemara continues, so the Gemara says, okay, how about this? How about where we go from the mother to generation number two, and that's triplets. Good. So in other words, so now we have three animals born this year. And why don't we have each one of the triplets giving birth to twins? Okay, and that way now we're all consistent. And so now that brings us to a total of 9. Okay, and now that 9's not enough, meaning we need 10. So why don't we do the following? So why don't we now have the original mother giving birth again this year? And so that'll get us to the number 10. So we have the symmetry, and we'll have the exact number 10. And why didn't the Brisa construct that scenario? And this is the reason why we're here. Meaning, it's for this question that we brought in the Brisa, and we asked these questions, and the Gemara now is going to give a suggested answer. As we now turn to the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, Leima Kasaver, Mita Nefes Eina Chozeres V'Yoledes B'Soch Shnasa. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why we couldn't say that, because it is impossible for a goat to have a discharge. Now, over here, by the way, mind you, she had more than a discharge, meaning she had an actual child. She had actually three. But the Gemara is saying, well, maybe what we could suggest over here is that after a discharge, it would be impossible for her to have another child within the same calendaric year. Okay. And if you remember, this was a big discussion that we had in yesterday's daf, in terms of whether or not this is possible. Because remember, as part of the debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, one of the things that Rabbi Akiva informed Rabbi Yishmael, and in the Braisa, by the way, Rabbi Yoshua was the one who informed Rabbi Yishmael, is that you're wrong. What was Rabbi Yishmael wrong about? Rabbi Yishmael thought that in order to exempt the next offspring from the mitzvah of Bechor, Kedushas Bechor, so the first offspring has to be a viable fetus. And Rabbi Yoshua in the Braisa and Rabbi Akiva back in the Mishnah said, no, that's not true. In other words, even a simple discharge of something that it was just a remnant of a fetus or the beginning development of a fetus, that already is going to create a patur for the next subsequent offspring to be exempt from the Kedushas Bechor. Anyway, so now as we go back to our discussion, can this all happen in one calendaric year? Now, it's a little bit different, by the way, than yesterday. Yesterday, we were talking about the first year of the animal's life. Here, we're just talking about a calendaric year for Maaser Behema. So it's not exactly the same, admittedly, but it's still the same basic point. Can an animal postpartum recover quickly enough? And we're talking about small animal, a goat. Can an animal postpartum recover quickly enough in order to have another fetus or another baby in the same calendaric year? By virtue of the fact that the Braisa didn't give that scenario, so isn't that proof positive that it can't happen? That's the Gemara's question. To which the Gemara's answer is, none of this is conclusive. Im tim salamer metanefe chozer v'yoledes besoch shnasa, yoledes vaday, eina chozeres v'yoledes besoch shnasa. So the Gemara says like this. Look, in terms of if all she had was just simply a discharge, meaning that she was somewhere in the beginning of gestation, and then it aborted, it miscarried, and she discharged whatever developing fetus was inside. So for her to be able to recover postpartum and to become pregnant again and to deliver a baby all within 1 year, that's totally possible. It's totally feasible. Maybe the only reason why the Braisa didn't give that scenario is because we're not talking about a discharge with a subsequent offspring. The Braisa was talking about where she had a viable child, and then, within the same calendaric year, maybe under those circumstances, she can't have a second viable child. Maybe that's why the Braisa didn't give that scenario, but it doesn't reflect at all on our discussion of Tinuf followed by Leda. Meaning when it comes to Tinuf followed by Leda, maybe all that can happen in one calendaric year. So the Gemara basically saying, look, it's a great question, but it's certainly inconclusive from the Braisa. Okay, now, in the Braisa that we just learned together, as long as we're here, so the Gemara is going to just speak it out right now. So what did the Braisa bring down? A scenario in which the mother gave birth to triplet goats. Each one of those triplet goats give birth to triplet goats. And what do we have? Instant Maaser Behema. Within 1 year, you can have now these 12 animals being born in my flock in 1 year, all coming from one mother. And so therefore, we have Maaser Behema. And of those 12 animals, one of them is going to be a Maaser Behema. Good. Then in the Braisa, what do we have? We have the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, I saw this happen. Now, Rabbi Shimon, thank you very much for providing us the testimonial. But the Braisa, as far as it presenting Rabbi Shimon's position, what is that adding to the Tanakhama? In other words, the fact that he saw it happen, that's great. So what the Gemara's understanding over here is that there must be some subtle distinction between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama. Otherwise, why would the Braisa bring in the position of Rabbi Shimon? It's not a position. It's just testimonial. So here's now where the Gemara is going to basically tease out a subtle distinction between the two. Now, a lot of this, by the way, is going to be a great review of what we learned in yesterday's daf. And let's see all this inside. I'm Rabbi Shimon, ani re'isi gidiya, ma'ika bin Tanakama le Rabbi Shimon. So again, the assumption now is that there is something separating Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama. They must be disagreeing about something. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe one suggestion would be the principle of Ze'iri. As we learned in yesterday's Dav, Ze'iri's principle. After a goat, a mother goat, had a discharge, a tinuf, so So she is going to be disinterested, unable, however you want to explain it physiologically, to mate and breed with a male goat. And therefore, it's going to be a 30-day hiatus post-discharge in which she's not going to mate, which obviously means that she's not going to conceive until a full month later. And if you remember in yesterday's daf, this came up as part of the discussion of, is it when you purchase the animal, and it's now, you purchased it on the beginning of its second year of its life. So is it possible that it could have A, discharged, and B, also had a baby all within 1 year? And Ze'iri's discussion became part of the equation. Because if you remember with the scenario that we had in yesterday's daf, where is that she had a discharge right at the beginning of month number 7. Now, if I subscribe to Ze'iri's rule, so that means that she won't be able to conceive until the beginning of month number 8, which means that her baby is only going to be coming at the beginning of her second year. That was the discussion we had yesterday. And as part of the discussion, which now the Gemara reintroduces, is that, are we subscribing to Ze'iri's rule? Or are we not subscribing? So the Gemara now is suggesting that could be the very subtle difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama of our Braisa. Tanakama Islay Ze'iri, Rabbi Shimon Islay Ze'iri. And so it's a question of whether or not we subscribe to his viewpoint or not. Now, by the way, if you read the Braisa, like you really have to read that into the Braisa. Meaning the Braisa does not at all seem to be discussing whether or not, right, when the baby came, when the next baby came, meaning in the Braisa, you really have to add a lot more. And by the way, if you look at Rashi over here, you see Rashi over here is very long. Rashi makes an effort, an attempt to read all this into the Braisa. It doesn't easily read into the Braisa. Number 2. Maybe everyone subscribes to Ze'iri. That after a discharge or a postpartum, the goat is unable to receive a male for a month. There's going to be a 1 month hiatus. And maybe what's that issue over here is that even though it's been established as a 5 month gestation period for a goat, as a human 9 month gestation period, the Gemara's assumptions are, obviously we don't work with these assumptions, but the Gemara's assumptions are is that a 9 month gestation of a human is a full gestation period. It is all 271 days before the baby's born. So too, when it comes to a goat in the 5 month gestation, it's a full 5 month gestation. Or maybe what the Gemara is entertaining is that when it comes to a goat and its gestation period, it's not a full 5 months. It could be into the 5 month, fifth month. And the Gemara is suggesting this is in fact the machlokas. So, and so this is now going to be the debate between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama. And again, I'll make the same exact point. When you go back to the Braisa, you read the Braisa, you get no indication in the Braisa that this is the actual debate between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. They're not talking about gestation periods. They're talking about, just simply, how is it possible to have a birth and another birth within one calendaric year? Triplets followed then by each one of the triplets having triplets. You don't see the gestation talk in it. And again, it's really encoded, deeply encoded into the Braisa, and the Gemara is kind of teasing it out. The Gemara now says as follows. Maybe everyone subscribes to Ze'iri. Maybe everyone says that the gestation period is a full 5 months. And maybe the Gemara is suggesting another alternative difference between the Tanakama and Ze'iri. I'm sorry, Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. And that is Mixas Yom Kekulo. Meaning that, and here, Rashi said this yesterday. Rashi again repeats this idea over here on this stuff as well. And that is as follows. Can I basically take a day and use that day both for this year and for next year? Meaning when we say Mixas Yom Kekulo, meaning as we enter into, now we could be talking about either side. We could be talking about the conception side, or we could be talking about the birth side. But in any event, if let's go to the end. Let's talk about the birth. So if we are now on the last day of the first year, so do we say Mixas Yom Kekulo, which means that it would be that the last day of the first year would both serve as the last day of the first year, that's Mixas Yom, and then as you move on to the next part of the day, can it also be day one of year number two? That's if you subscribe to the idea of Mixas Yom Kekulo. And if that's true, so then we can have a scenario in which you can have a birth occur at the last day of the first year, and it could both be serving as the representing the end of the first year and also the beginning of the second year as well. And that, the Gemara says, is the at issue between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama. And again, when you read the Braisa, there's no indication that this is in fact so. The Gemara is kind of teasing it out. All these suggestions, by the way, we made in yesterday's daf, all three of them that we just said was part and parcel of yesterday's daf. Mm-hmm. So it all serves as a review.
Rabbi Shimon is just making a fact. You know, it's unusual to see the mother and the children in the same pen.
Good. So you don't see all the, you don't see all this in the Braisa. Right. I understand.
Why make a big deal out of it?
The Braisa, the way the Braisa presents it is as if there's some sort of debate going on. Meaning the Braisa wouldn't just simply record it. That's the Gemara's assumption. Now the Gemara offers a fourth suggestion in terms of what exactly is the debate between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon, and maybe it's like this. We know that as far as an animal is concerned, an animal's eligibility to be brought as a carbon is only from day 8 and onward. Okay, an animal's born. So are we allowed to shech the animal and eat it right away? The answer is yes. Okay, it's you can if you'd like, day 2, day 3. You want to shech an animal and eat it. There's obviously not a lot to consume over there. But you could do that. In terms of a carbon, so the Torah says very clearly, only from day 8 and onward, then and only then can be offered as a carbon. Okay, good. The halacha is very clear. The Torah is extraordinarily clear. What if I want to be makdish the animal on day 4? Day 2. Right? On the day that it's born. I'm going to be makdish the animal. Obviously, I'm not going to bring it until day 8, the Torah says. Only from day 8 and onward I can bring it. But I'm going to be makdish it. So can you be makdish it prior to that? So that in halacha is called mechusar zman. It's premature. And it's the fact that it's premature means that your act of kiddush of Hekdesh is nothing, zero. Rashi on the top of the next Amud, Rashi, am I saying it right? I think so. Rashi on the top of the next Amud, Leilav Mikachim, I know we didn't get there yet, but Mishlamim She'en Yachol HaKdisha Mechusar Zman, She'en Kedusha Chala Aleihem. If you attempt to be makadish an animal, to be makdish an animal, prematurely, nothing. Zero. Kedarmina b'toros kohanim, Rashi over here quotes the Sifra. U'miyom hashmina b'hala yeretzeh l'karbani shel Hashem, ein li ela li'isheh, minayin af l'hakdish, tamalomer l'karban. So you can't be a makdish an animal prematurely. Good. Now that we've established that, so let's take the following into consideration. For Maaser Behema, what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is all the animals that are born this year in my flock, I'm going to put into the pen. I'm going to have them come out of the pen and start counting them. Let's say as we now approach Rosh Chodesh Elul, by the end of the fiscal year, 2 days prior to Rosh Chodesh Elul, I have an animal being born in my flock. Here comes a wonderful question. Is that going to be counted now? Well, let's take the following into consideration. In other words, it's not 8 days old. And if I now put into the pen and I start counting it, so then if it ends up being number 10...
But didn't we learn that if you could just wait and count the 8 deaths after
you... Wait just 1 second. 1 second. So if it comes out to be number 10, so then I was just makdish an animal prematurely. And is it going to be subject to Maaser Behema, considering that it's too early? And so this is the question on the table, and the Gemara now saying that this is the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Now, Vehatanya. And the Gemara says, now this Vehatanya is Nichusa, meaning it's not a question. It supports the idea. Yes, this is subject to a debate. Because Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Here we go. At least now we have another Braisa that validates that this is Rabbi Shimon's opinion, which is Mechusas Man Nichnas Ladir Lehitaser. Vaharehenke Bechor. So when it comes to the mitzvah of Maaser Behema, so the fact that it's Mechusar Zman is not an issue. You could take the animal, put it into the pen, have it be as one of the 10. It can even become number 10 because from that point forward, by the way, it is obviously arbitrary which one is number 10. And it can even become number 10 and that would be fine. And as Ben points out correctly, and then you'd wait. You wait until it's 8 days old. But to be counted and even to be makdish it as number 10 is fine. Why? Because the harei hen kebechor, Ma b'chor karsh lefnez mano v'karv l'achrez mano af mechus zman. Karsh lefnez mano v'karv l'achrez mano. Because think of the precedent. What's Maiser Behema like? It's like an animal which is a firstborn animal. Every b'chor, by definition, is a mechus zman.
Right.
What happens with every b'chor, every single one, no exception, is that it has the kedusha as it's coming out of its mother's womb. And you can't offer it as a karban until day 8. Now, Danny's point is very good. You weren't makdish it, but still, the point is that it's able to receive kedusha 8 days prior to when it can be offered. Good. So just like b'chor, where it runs against the rules of mechusar zman, so too Maiser Behema also runs against the rules of mechusar zman. To which now we enter into one of the classic discussions of the Gemara, which is, wait one second, b'chor is the exception. What's the rule? The rule is the regular karban. Like I read the Rashi earlier, by regular karban shlamim, you can't do this. You can't be makdish it in a state of mechusar zman while it's premature, while it's not yet eligible to be brought as a karban. So I have Maiser Behema. Now I have two paths I can go down. I can either associate it and connect it to b'chor and learn the halachas of mechusar zman from b'chor to Maiser Behema, or I can learn it as a regular karban. Now, as a regular karban, so you can't do this. So which way am I going to go? So Rabbi Shimon clearly goes down the path of b'chor, as we just learned. Okay.
B'chor is different because you don't be makdish it.
So
it's automatic.
Okay, so you're headed into the Gemara's direction. V'adi yalav mebechor neilav mekachim. So the Gemara says it makes more sense. Meaning, when having the question now of which one is it more connected to, so we look at the connection points, and we go into the classic discussion of is Maiser Behema more connected to Bechor, is it more connected to a standard karban? So on one hand, it is more connected to Bechor in the following manners, and the Gemara just simply lists the bullet points: Goel, Mum, Tmura, Achila, Rashi. Rashi writes over here. She can go among to Murachila, Bechor Meiser ain Niftin, the Bechor Namar lo Sifte of a Meiser lo Yigael, of a Kachim Niftin b'mumman. Number one, when it comes to standard carbon, so if it gets a blemish, so you are allowed to redeem it, mitzvah to redeem it. And it now is Psule HaMukdashim, as we discussed already extensively in the past, and we're going to continue discussing as we are now at the second half of Seder Kachim. As opposed to both Bechor and Meiser, unredeemable. They are unredeemable karbanos. What happens when they get a blemish? You don't redeem them. You just eat it. You eat it with the blemish, but no redemption. Number two, ukedushin b'mumam kedusha gemura.
Who eats the b'chor?
Who eats the b'chor? The kohen. It's property of the kohen, unless it's a suffix, which means that you don't give it to the kohen.
So when it's given to the kohen, why is he doing redemption at all? He's eating it.
No, he's bringing it as a karban.
And then what with it?
And then he treats it like a regular shlamim.
And then he eats it.
Right. Okay, so v'kachim b'mumam kedusha gemura, masha enkein b'kachim k'damina b'perkin delal. Kol hakadoshon shekana mum kavu l'kacham chutz mi b'chor meiser u'b'chor. I'm sorry. Chutz mi b'chor u'meiser. Okay, the number two says Rashi is that. Put the comma in the wrong spot. Okay, number two is that in terms of blemishes. So what happens when you have an animal that's blemish precedes its kedusha? Doesn't have kedusha to guf. That's not true with Bechor, and that's not true with Meiser. With Bechor and Meiser, even though it had a blemish prior to the Kedusha, which means that by the Bechor, it had a congenital blemish. By Meiser Behema, it was a mum as it was put into the pen. And as it's coming out as number 10, it had a blemish. Still, in both those cases, they're going to receive Kedusha as a guf. And that's not true by regular carbon. That was number two. Number three, Bechor and Meiser, I'm reading, this is all Rashi. Bechor and Meiser, ain't tomorrow some kreva, dichsiv lo sifteh, kodesh heim. As damam tizrok, v'ramin and hain kreva ve'ein tamura sam kreva, v'masechas tamura v'perik elu kachim, aval shar kachim tamura sam kreva, k'damin v'perik elu la'el, rakad ashecha elu ha-tamuros. So number three says Rashi, when I do a tamura with a regular karban, what happens to the tamura? It's offered as a karban. That's the tamura is going to have the kedusha of the original. Mashenkin, when it comes to b'chor and when it comes to ma'aser, what happens to the tamura? It's not offered as a karban. Number four, achila. One of the next Rashi, divra amaschal achila. Bechor ma'aser nechalim b'mumman zel yisrael v'zel akoin. Ava kachim shenafal b'am mum niftim. What happens if it gets a blemish? So when it comes to a standard karban, you can't eat it yet. When it comes to bechor and ma'aser behemah, you can eat it right now. Now this last Rashi over here explaining the fourth connection point between Bechor and Maaser Behema, it sounds awfully familiar to the first point that we made. And Tosfos makes that. Tosfos notes that, and Tosfos says, "I'll come up with an alternative pshat. See Tosfos for an alternative pshat." In the meantime, however, we're going to go back to the Gemara Adarabba. So the Gemara says, "So you came up with four wonderful connection points between Bechor and Maaser Behema." So the Gemara says, "But I can go in another direction. Adarabba Mikashma Velamela Shekain Zachar Kodesh BeMatanus Pasha." And so now we have four connection points connecting a Maaser Behema animal to a regular carbon. Rashi, by the way, has a slightly different order than what we have in the Gemara. But anyway, Rashi, Pashut Zachar Kadosh B'Matanos, Meister V'Kachim Noagim B'Pashut, Ve'inim Tzrichim Liozich, I'm sorry, Noagim B'Pashut. Number one, that we know that when it comes to Meister Behema and when it comes to a regular Karban, non-Bechors, by definition, because the Bechor obviously already has Kedusha. So the Meister Behema is a non-Bechor, so it's a regular Karban. Ve'inim Tzrichim Liozicharim. Also, they don't have to be a male. Bechorim, by definition, has to be a male. Number three, Tzrichim Lagdishim B'Yadayim. They also, you have to be Makdishit, as opposed to a Bechor, comes out Kadosh. And number, I'm sorry, that was number three. And number four, Ve'inom Memetanos Kahuna. V'hamaiser Shlamin Nechal L'Balim K'da Amrinim B'Perik Maiser Behema. Sorry. And as far as Matanos are concerned, so it's not part of the Matanos Kahuna. Meaning Bechor is Matanos Kahuna. Maiser Behema, not. Maiser Behema is eaten by the owner. And a regular shlamim, of course, also is not matnas kahuna. Okay. So, what we are now at a point is, I'm going to have maaser behema and connect it to what? To bechor, four connecting points. To a regular karban, four connecting points. So, we have now a tie. And so, what do we do with a tie? It's a wonderful question. So, Ela Rabbi Shimon Havar Havar Gamir. So, the Gemara says, you're right. So, as far as using this as a method of connection, so we are in an impasse. So, we're going to have a Xerishava of Havara Havara. Right? Rashi quotes both Psukim. It says regarding Bechor Va'avarta Kol Petarechem, and it says by Meister Behema Kol Asher Ya'avor Tachas HaShavet. So we have over here the word Tavor used in both locations. It's a Xerishava connecting Meister to Bechor.
Is it accepted?
According to Rabbi Shimon.
But Zerushava is from Mishina.
Yeah, that's true. And we have Tanaim argue on it. Okay. This is the opinion. This is all the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now, Adkan, that takes us to the end of that part of the discussion. And now just to finish up the daf. So where do we stand right now in terms of today's daf? It's actually pretty straightforward. We opened up with the Brisa today. Having to do with Meister Behema, not really having to do with our discussion of what would be would it be possible for a goat to have a kid and have a kid in its first year of life? That was the question that we asked yesterday. Because when I buy a goat from a non-Jew and I know it's within the first year of life and it kidded and it gave birth to its first, so do we know for sure it's its first? Maybe it's a suffix. So it's a machlokis, tanayim. And so our discussion in today's daf opened up with a b'raisa seemingly totally unrelated, where we have 12 animals born, all coming from one mother. Where one mother gave birth to triplets, each one of the triplets gave birth to triplets themselves. And so we have 12 animals being born. And Rabbi Shimon says, I saw it happen. So the first stop of today's daf is, what is the difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon? The Gemara gave four suggestions in terms of what could be the possible machlokas between them. The principle of Ze'iri, the 30-day hiatus, postpartum. The fact of whether or not 5 months is a full gestation or it doesn't need a full gestation when it comes to the birth of goats. The principle of Mixas HaYom Kikulo, whether one day could serve as both the end of this year and the beginning of the upcoming year. Mechusar Zman, whether that could be put into the pen for Maaser Behema. Rabbi Shimon's position is that it can because it's like Bechor. Just like Bechor is imbued with Kedusha prior to its ability to be offered. Same thing is true regarding Maaser Behema. And so that now is all the possible distinctions between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama. With that stated, we now return back to our topic and our discussion of our Gemara, and that is this idea of Tinuf. Now, what is Tinuf? So as we discussed in yesterday's Gemara, in more generic terms, it's some sort of discharge. Meaning, and as I described yesterday, it could have been a birthing event. Meaning what happened was that the goat just simply passed something. In just a moment, the Gemara is going to give some more detail in terms of what exactly it discharged. But it discharged something, and as a result of that, so the animal is going to now have been considered having given birth. the subsequent children are not going to be a Bechor. Good. That is what we learned in yesterday's daf. The Gemara just wants a little more detail to the best that we could describe it. So Hepi Damitinov, so the Gemara says, what exactly would a Tinov look like? Amarava Kadamri Reusa, you know, the shepherds would say, Ditzilsa, the shepherds of Tzilsa, Atzar Chiyusa. Atzar Chiyusa, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Netzar Rachma Benimu Kauba. So what happened was is there was some sort of constriction of the womb, and what happened was is that the developing fetus inside was crushed based on the fact that the womb was not ready to expand and basically hold it and protect it. And so that is one possibility of what the discharge is a result of. Shmuel Amar Ba'abui Dadama. Shmuel gives another description where basically it is a bubbling blood that is coming out of the animal. So various descriptions amongst the Amarayim. Now, the Gemara says, now, what you need to do is when you have some sort of discharge, show it to an expert. Now, the Gemara's language over here is a chacham. At first, the Gemara is thinking that you show it to a Talmud chacham. And to which the Gemara immediately reacts. The Gemara says, chacham and ayada. You're going to give it to a Talmud chacham? What does he know from this? Meaning, he knows Brises and he knows Mishnayos, and he's in the base medrash, and good. And that's his job. But, in other words, he's not going to know as you hand him now some discharge that came out of the goat, so he does not have the field experience, literally the field experience, to know what exactly just happened. So Amar Papa Roa Chacham, so Papa immediately corrects, and he says, yeah, when we say Chacham over here, we mean a shepherd, an expert shepherd. So you're going to give it to somebody who really is in the field, literally in the field, and knows exactly when this discharge is either a miscarriage of a fetus, which now means halachically, this is the firstborn. And so therefore, the next one coming out is not going to be a firstborn, or it's not. In other words, it's just simply a discharge, some sort of discharge that came out of the animal, but it's not. It has nothing to do with any kind of pregnancy, miscarriage. And so therefore, the next one that's coming out is actually the first one coming out.
Is that only for Shmuel that he has to do that? Because it's only by the law that he's saying that. But also for Hobo, he had to show to Hobo.
Unclear. Unclear. I don't know. I don't know. Amr of Chista Hare Amru. Yitzirus Avla B'Isha Abraham Yom. Okay, now an idea that we're going to see time and again in Masechta Nida is the following. So in terms of Yitzirus Avla, so from conception, at what point in time now is it a halachically fetus? Now, this may or may not, and probably not, has nothing to do with aborting a fetus, which, by the way, parenthetically, in the Gemara, the Gemara does entertain the idea of the Mishnah Naolos. It does entertain the idea of aborting a fetus for the purposes of saving the mother, but that's the only way that the Gemara has any discussion of aborting a fetus. Over here, in terms of what halacha is from the Gemara standpoint, it only has relevancy from conception to 40 days and from 40 days and onward. It only has relevancy in terms of whether or not it's Tumas Leda, whether if she discharges it prior to 40 days versus after 40 days of gestation, whether she has to be subject to all the rules of Tumas Leda. That's the only relevancy from the Gemara's perspective that we have in terms of the first 40 days and the any time of gestation from 40 to day 271. Mm-hmm. So anyway, by Rav Chista ben Behema Bekama. Okay, so we know that halachically speaking, when it comes to human fetus and human fetal development, so from day 40 and onward post-conception, that's where it's halachically relevant. What do we say regarding the development of the fetus of an animal? Now, first of all, we already know that the timetable is much different. It's 5 months, it's not 9 months. But still, is there any way where we're going to be able to mark when it's halachically significant versus when it's not? So the Gemara says, isn't that exactly the point of Ziri? And right now the Gemara is assuming that when Ziri said 30 days, he talked about something to do with gestation. Now, we've already discussed Ziri yesterday's daf. We discussed him again in today's daf. We know otherwise, meaning we know Ziri has nothing to do with gestation. Ziri simply has to do with basically a postpartum hiatus, where the female goat is just simply not ready to mate for 30 days afterwards. But right now, an Amora, right, and we can actually name him because the Gemara does, so Rav Papa thinks that Ziri's 30 days had something to do with gestation. But immediately the Gemara corrects. The Gemara says, no, how lekabel itmar? No, it has nothing to do with gestation. It has to do with what we've been discussing the last couple of days. It has to do with postpartum hiatus, and that she's just simply not going to mate for 30 days after she has either given birth or she had some sort of discharge. Okay, our discussion since yesterday's daf, since the beginning of yesterday's daf, since the beginning of the third parak, is what happens when you buy an animal from a non-Jew? And so you have no information, and so now what assumptions can you make? Good. What happens when I buy an animal from a Jew? So what do we say at this point in time? Now, when I'm buying an animal from a Jew, so there are a couple of factors to take into consideration. And the one which is going to be the most overwhelming is that Jews enjoy helping other Jews, especially when it comes to mitzvos. So if this animal, in fact, did not give birth historically, you would assume, or at least this is going to be the opinion of Rav Yochanan, which I'm giving away right now, is that he's going to tell you. The seller is going to tell the buyer, you know, this animal has not given birth historically, and so that means that the first animal that comes out is going to be a Bechor with Kedushas Bechor.
Otherwise,
it would be Lifnei Iver. Good. That is the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Although, there will be other opinions and other considerations, and we're going to go through it right now. So, it's for sure Bechor. For sure. Why? Because if this animal already has given birth, so your seller would have been beating his chest and saying, you got to buy this animal, because this animal has already given birth. Now, why is that so exciting that this animal has given birth? Why is that a selling point? So there's Rashi and then there's Rashi. Well, there's the Rashi we have in our Gemara, and then there's the Rashi quoted by Tosfos. So I'm going to look at it from Tosfos' standpoint. So one possibility, which by the way, we don't have in our Rashi, but one possibility is that, you know, why is it such a good selling point? Because you're basically saying that, look, this is you want to buy this animal for breeding? Tested and proven. It's a breeder. Right? It's already conceived, it's already given birth. I'm telling you, winning animal. Od avalavik kochav minami amalei hachi bedvar v'emes v'yeshlam. I'm sorry, amalei hachi ein bedvar v'emes. Now, if you're buying from a non-Jew, so it could be a selling point, but that doesn't mean that he's telling the truth, and so therefore we just simply do not rely on his advertisement. And just in general, even if he's not saying it as a halachic point, even if the non-Jew is just simply saying it as a selling point, but still, you just have to wonder and you have to ask yourself. And by the way, I say this to all consumers, right? And I'm a consumer, so in other words, buyer beware. Meaning, even though it's advertised as something, but okay, that's great. They're advertising it as such. That doesn't mean it's so. And another pshat, says Tosfos, which, by the way, that's Rashi over here in our Gemara, and that, look, why is it a great selling point that this animal gave birth already? Because now from this point going forward, the next animal that's born, it's a your animal. It's not the Cohen's animal. So for this reason, when I'm buying from a Jew, so obviously, if in fact it gave birth, he would have told me. And so therefore, Rav's of the position that when I buy an animal from another Jew and he didn't say anything, that means that the next animal comes out is the first animal that's coming out. Okay. Shmuel Amar Bechor Safek Sefer L'Shechita Kabayilei. Now, as far as Shmuel's concerned, so Shmuel says, well, look, when he sold you the animal, why did you buy the animal? Did you buy it for breeding, or maybe you bought it for Shechita? Meaning you planned on shechting it right away. And so therefore, his silence about its history may not be reflective of the fact that it gave birth, it didn't give birth. Maybe he just thought that you wanted to shecht it. Okay. Now, mind you, by the way, in this entire discussion, wouldn't it have been so helpful if the buyer would have just simply said, hey, could you give me a history on this animal? I understand. But the Gemara's discussion is that what assumptions can we make? And Rav Yochanan Amar Chulin Vadayin. And Rav Yochanan says that when you buy an animal from another Jew, so it is now Chulin, meaning its animal that it gives birth to is not the first, but it's going to be the second. Why? My timing, or at least the second. My timing, Misa de la Bichra, came to Iki, Suri, or do we have a modile? And so, I know I already gave it away, but Rav Yochanan says, he would have told you, you're a Jew, he's a Jew, you like keeping mitzvos and avoiding averos, he does as well. And so, he would have told you that if this animal now is going to be giving birth to a Bechor, so he would have said to you, don't Right? Don't assume that the firstborn is yours. It's not. It's a Bechor. By virtue of the fact that he didn't tell you that, it means then that it's not going to be a Bechor. Tanya Kavasa de Rav Yochanan de Amar Chulin im lo hodio holich v'shoche ve'eno nimna. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa that is supportive of the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Meaning without any information, you can assume that it's okay. Otherwise, he would have informed you. Now the Gemara says, now, Rav and Shmuel are disputing this point. Meaning, Rav and Shmuel are, Rav Yochanan is making a, what we'd like to think is an extraordinarily cogent point. Jews like protecting other Jews from violating Yisurim. And Rav and Shmuel don't subscribe to that. So, Hasam b'mocher talya milsa, hacha b'lokech talya milsa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what we did? We compared our Gemara to a Gemara back in Chulin. Now you remember back in Chulin, I buy an animal from somebody. Is it subject to Osa Vespino? Meaning, did the seller sell the mother on the very same day? And would I possibly be in violation of Osa Vespino? So you remember what we learned back in Chulin? 4 days of the year where it's the seller's responsibility to let the buyer know. Because on these 4 days, there's a tremendous consumption of meat. Right, and those 4 days, by the way, all revolve around Yontif, right? Interesting how certain Yontifs are included, certain Yontifs were not included, not for now, but anyway. So there, it now becomes the seller's responsibility to let the buyer know that I sold the mother on that very day. But over here, when it comes to the purchasing of Bechor, what Rav and Shmuel will tell you is that over here, it is not the responsibility of the seller to take on this responsibility of Kedushas Bechor. It is the buyer's responsibility. Rashi quotes a pasuk, Halcha b'lokech tal yemilsa dichsib bibkarcha v'tzoncha. Demisha behema shalo alav lahafrish b'chorosav. Meaning it is your animal that you're responsible to separate Bechor. So once I am exchanging or selling an animal from me to you, it is not my responsibility to let you know whether or not the animal is a Bechor or not. And so that could be a distinction between our case and the previous case. Okay, and so the end of today's daf, just to recap, has to do with this with the ideas of, first of all, what is tinuf, what is the discharge, what is it going to look like. So we got a couple opinions in the Gemara exactly, not exactly, but a better idea of what exactly discharge is. Can we put a mark in terms of the gestation period of a goat, in terms of when it becomes halachically significant? We know that when it comes to leida of a human, 40 days. Is the significant point of gestation, where it goes from being Maya Ba'alma to becoming a halachically significant fetus. Is there anything like that in a goat and the five-month gestation of a goat? The Gemara thought Ziri has something to do with it. The Gemara immediately said Ziri has nothing to do with it. And finally, when I'm buying a goat or in any animal from another Jew, not from a non-Jew, so what default assumptions can we make? So there were three opinions, Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's position, which is supported by the Braisa, is that if in fact it wasn't, it hasn't given birth historically, so the seller would have told the buyer. He would have told me because he wouldn't want me violating an Avera, and so that is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan.